And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Anna.
Yes, I'm here.
And Jordan?
I'm not Jordan.
I know.
How could you?
And Joe. Yeah. I know, because Jordan was last week and Joe's this week.
That's right. We might be the same person. Have you ever seen us in the same room? Even if we're here, maybe we're just moving really fast.
Oh.
It's like the John Oliver joke about the Olsen twins. They're just one person that moved really quickly.
Well, it could be the Flash.
Yeah.
One of you is a figment, or whatever it's called now. A replicant? Now replicant.
Oh.
It's something along those lines, though.
Yeah, so you can believe whichever theory, whether we're two different people or the same.
All right, so Joe.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Joden, like Alex's Joden. Friend used to call us.
Or like Ted calls you.
Yeah. Just be Joden.
And we have Alex.
Not part of the Joden cabal, but... I'm here anyway.
Yay.
We also have Bill.
Hey.
That's right.
I think I'd turn us down a little. May have been a little loud. All right. So we're just jumping straight into things and news. I don't even know what. We have a lot of stuff on our list.
I know. I saw tons of things on there.
It's massive this week.
Yeah. It is. I've actually been kind of getting some stuff because between Apple releasing their stuff and I've been hearing some good news about their, iPhone 10 or X. I'm going to call it X because it pisses everybody off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, if you want to make people mad, say X. If you want people make people mad that you're getting the branding right, say 10. Either way, you'll get somebody mad.
There we go.
That's right.
All right. So, I think I also. Okay. So, the facial recognition is almost perfect to the point of you pick it up you use it, look at it, everything very natural. Also without the home button, you swipe, everything's all awesome. But usually what gets people is like if you sit with like your hand in front of your face, or you're first thing in the morning, you're wearing glasses, you normally don't wear glasses or vice versa, hair's all messed up. It goes, wait a second, I'm not unlocking. You type in your passcode, and it goes, oh, that was really you. And then it remembers. And next time, it goes, I gotcha.
So it don't remember bed hair?
It remembers bedhead.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I know, does it do the thing with the creatures where you can superimpose, like, a unicorn? Because I saw...
Yes. Only on the 10.
Or what's it called? It was Beck. He's promoting his new album, and I saw... like a unicorn singing, and then in the comments, that's what someone said. They're like, someone must have got the new iPhone. No. It was like a unicorn that was singing the song.
Nice.
And so, yeah.
Wasn't there like a very short-lived app where it's sort of like Vine videos, but you would sing like a small portion of a song or do like a voiceover of some memorable quote from a movie? Like, you and Kelly really big on that, Joe. I guess, do you think there's going to be like a thing like that with the Animojis?
It might be, because it could be just, but the reversal where your face is superimposed and then it's just your voice talking.
That's true.
That I remember, because I used that for like a week or two before I got sick of it. And that's basically what it was, is that you would line up your voice and then it would have the original voice in there. So you're just dubbing it over.
Kind of like the, Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, because I did like the They Live quote, where it's like, I'm all out of bubblegum one, and that's pretty fun. And then the Bane one. It's nice. Like, I was born in the dark, and it was Bane's voice.
Not hard to do.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many times where I bring up Black Mirror this episode, just scrolling through the show notes. if you're listening at home, make sure to keep like a bingo card of Black Mirror references, because you're going to fill up the card.
Actually, maybe we should just call it the Black Mirror episode. Okay.
I haven't gone back to watch some of the episodes of Black Mirror. Are they pretty good?
I like it a lot. You like it?
I like all of them. They were cool for the, especially the Netflix, when Netflix picked it up. Extended season of still only 6 episodes, but
hey, what are you still only? That's more than they.
I know they used to only do like 3 episodes. So that's good.
Since I finished watching Stranger Things 2, I probably need to pick up Black Mirror again.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
On the topic of Stranger Things, I'm going to plug another plug. There's this podcast that came to the Retro Gaming Expo, and they tried it Robo V Dino, and they totally loved it. And they gave me a plug on their podcast. Let me pull up the name of it. I think it's a Hawkins Radio podcast. I'll be sure to stick a link to them in the show notes. But yeah, they talk about, it's specifically a Stranger Things podcast, and they're doing like an episode by an episode analysis of what they expect's going to happen, and then whatever happens. So if you are a binge, it's not going to be a surprise, but if you're going back through for a watch, it might be fun to check them out.
And also, apparently, like yesterday, the trailer for episode, or for season 4 of Black Mirror came out, too.
I thought it should be season 5. Didn't they have like 3 before?
Maybe it's 5.
I thought it should have been 5 because I thought
because
had 3.
Two, the Christmas episode was 3, but it was tacked onto 2. So Netflix officially released 3.
Oh, was there only that? There was only like 6 episodes of it originally? That might be.
What do you mean? When
I thought they had like
there was 7.
3 sets of 3.
Nope.
Oh, it's only 2?
Now you're making me question it.
I know. I can remember. That just didn't seem right, but it might be right. I could just remember, like I said, the Christmas episode as the unofficial tag on.
We're also calling it season 4. Now you're making me question that.
I could be full of crap, because now when I think about it, I'm like trying to name episodes in the elusive third season, and it could... No, you're right. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had the Waldo was the last of the second, and then White Christmas was tagged onto that. So it was 1 season of 3, second season of 4, 3 season 6. Yeah. So that is correct.
Okay. So, yes.
So you don't listen to me.
I do know myself. I was like, wait, I was reading stuff. So the titles have been released. There's going to be 6 episodes again. The trailer's been released. And... it's rumored to be released late 2017, early 2018.
Okay.
So there's your more Black Mirror.
And I miss the killer bees. That was the best.
So it's interesting, a segue with that. We might as well talk about bees, robo bees. They can launch themselves out of water. Did you end up reading the article?
No. So they are doing Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah. Well, even more so. These are the different bees than the last bees that we talked about many, many episodes ago. But what they do is they create a gas, and it makes it, ignites it. It does a tiny spark, and then it pops it up into the air.
Huh.
And it can also, if it gets into water, it can swim. Apparently the other one can too. So this is one of 2 popular bees, robo bees. And they can swim, but they can't swim as fast as they can fly. Oh, and okay, and also the gas that makes is a hydrogen-oxygen mix, and then ignites that. But it cannot swim very quickly through water, otherwise it'll break its wings off.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Is that be used to pollinate at all, or?
Yeah, that's what these are.
Okay.
These are used to pollinate. So just like with the Black Mirror episode, all it is for pollinating. It is they do not make honey. Those Black Mirror bees can totally make honey. I don't care what they say in the episode. Those things are way too advanced not to be making honey.
Yeah.
Like these bees,
pretty nifty.
The RL bees from all the places. No, they are not making honey anytime soon. There may be another version that comes out. I'd be excited. And they weigh 175 milligrams. It's your drone. Your teeny tiny.
Wait, how much does it weigh?
175 milligrams.
Oh, milligrams. This is kilograms. I'm like, wow, that's a dense little bee.
Yeah, it's like an inch square, but it weighs the as much as your car.
Exactly. It needs pools to launch from.
And it's quite the mixture, because it's not going to launch itself off the top of the water. It's going to launch itself from the bottom of the pool. Of the 10-foot pool. No, so stand back, because there's going to be a lot of explosion. All right.
That's pretty nifty.
The other fun stuff we have. And you can give me all the Black Mirror.
I know. What's that? You can do the... Are we up to two? Do we get iPhone? Did we talk about that?
We talked about the iPhone's Waldo effect.
Yeah, that's what I'm singing, because that's another Black Mirror thing.
Yeah. And then we have the RoboBees.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talked about Black Mirror Season 4.
Yeah.
Let's see if we could...
There's too many choices. You're paralyzed by indecision because there's just too many choices available for dystopic future hells.
No, do the smart home, because remember it's not quite cloning yourself, but...
Which part of the smart home? We have a couple things on here.
Whichever. That was basically the idea.
I'm just going to pick one and just veto the host here. There's another Apple story that came out recently from... TechCrunch posted borderline just a press release for Apple working on a extension of their AR kit into like a new hardware device. And it's supposed to be like a wearable headset. So like all the Futurama jokes about the literal iPhone are going to kind of come to fruition. Apple's this next product that they're hoping to ship in 2020. And it's going to, there hasn't been a lot of software that takes advantage of AR kit, but AR kit's more or less this, easy to develop for stack that you can make like augmented reality type games and apps. So you could take your iPad and like hold it and point it at a table and like, I don't know, there's a puppy or something on it. But they're trying to like turn this into like a wearable either accessory or standalone device that leverages that same technology. So you can stay engaged with the world around you or some approximation thereof and use Apple's device. They made it sound like the blurbs from like Johnny Ives and like Tim Cook, it sounds like they're kind of hoping this will be a successor to the iPhone. But I have a hard time believing within basically 2 years, Apple's going to ditch the iPhone and put all their eggs in the AR basket. Because I mean, that kind of depends on a lot of things going right. I would expect if they did actually release, it would become more of like an Apple Watch type product.
I can see that, but that's the other thing about how Apple does things is when they push technology, you know, like got rid of the fingerprint on the X, and they did with face. It wasn't pick the one you like. It was, no, this is what you're using.
No, it's face.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
So if they did do something, I wouldn't see it for multiple generations for them to absolutely dump the iPhone. And also those glasses, the Apple glasses would have to be the most, you know, because Google's already ran into issues with that. Theirs weren't terrible, but all they got out of it really was that a better camera that they're using on their phones. So Apple really have to really, I feel like a lot of extra forcing on this, or maybe they'll come out with the right timing.
Yeah.
Microsoft has one. Theirs aren't terrible.
Yeah, they do have to transition people, but people have been good about embracing stuff too.
Maybe if Apple does it,
the smartphones will be the new dumb phones. They're like, oh,
yeah,
you have to carry something in your pocket. What's wrong?
Oh,
with
yours,
you?
Yours isn't attached to your skull. How pedestrian!
Yeah. Underneath your skull.
One of the things that stood out with to me when I was reading the TechCrunch article on this, it reads a lot like when Apple was talking about making a smart car, which I mean they started that like about 4 years ago. And we still haven't seen like an Apple car yet. So I don't know if it's just like one of those things that Apple put out just to get investors excited, or if there is actually like a product that they're planning on putting out. So don't like throw out your iPhone today expecting to get like a new awesome to experience the technology tomorrow. They may just keep the iPhone, and this is just like a thing that they just keep around in the R&D labs that never makes it out. But that's the only reason, that's just kind of what it reminded me of. So I'm wondering if it is just like some way to get investors excited, because I'm not sure how well the iPhone 10 is going to perform where it's so dang expensive.
Well, except for they're selling out and they're telling people to go.
Yeah, but they sell out every single iPhone that's happened. I mean, that's nothing new. Like there's never been an iPhone that hasn't sold out, and they haven't had like, and it's not like they don't have the resources to manufacture more. I mean, the Apple's been doing this for 10 years, so. And every iPhone is always like the fastest selling iPhone of all time, just because they like just keep on pushing down quantities.
Oh, that's actually what they're doing. Like, we're doing record numbers right now. Well, you're selling three different phones, so which one is actually... Because Apple doesn't release the individual sales. They release a total sales altogether.
I do like the picture on the thing there, because I have both those Lego sets on the Apple article. Batman. See, yeah, I get the Arkham Asylum and the Batmobile.
See, now you can take your Legos, and with augmented reality, you can play like a video game with them. Oh. That actually would be something worthwhile with Legos or other things that you build, or even like if you were playing like Dungeons and Dragons and you invested in one of those sets,
mm-hmm.
so you have everything all laid out, and then the augmented reality is...
That's kind of the that's kind of the logical conclusion of like Amiibos or what's Activision's thing? Skylanders.
Oh yeah,
like just that blending of like physical and virtual play.
Yeah,
but this would actually still be in like
you put the tech
right here.
Board games. Yeah, you're looking at it. That would be cool. Mm-hmm.
So it's the step before they implant the chips into the back of your Mac or your eyeballs. You know, kind of like the picture. That we're probably going to use.
There's going to be a whole generation of millennials that watch Futurama, and when the option comes by to get an implanted microchip for like a cell phone or something, they're going to remember Fry screaming when it goes in, and they're not going to get that product. There's like like everybody who's seen that episode is just not going to do it.
Yeah, they slab it into his ear. Yeah. Well, is Futurama the new, or I guess old Star Trek?
Pretty much,
everything's coming.
It was almost in more Star Trek than the original series was.
Yeah. Well, they predicted flip phones and their flip communication devices. You know, like people like Jordan has. Not you, Joe. But Jordan.
Wasn't Samsung trying to bring back like a flip phone? Like a smart flip phone?
They are, and I haven't heard much.
Jordan still keeps his mystery because he has the movie pass, which in theory you need that app to check in, and he's able to check in, but all he has is his dumb phone. So I'm trying to break the mystery of how he does it.
You want to see behind the curtain? Because I've already seen behind the curtain.
You've seen behind the curtain?
I've seen behind the curtain.
Is there a website?
He has two phones. He has two phones.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
I'm surprised that you didn't.
He just uses Wi-Fi or something.
The what?
He actually.
I think he actually has a data plan.
Oh.
Because you have to be within distance. So what Wi-Fi place would be within certain theaters? Like certain theaters, like especially ours, there is no free Wi-Fi.
We're just dropping all Jordan's secrets while he's gone. Drop it. Doxing him.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Jordan had the Prestige thing. Have you seen that movie? He's building it up like it's a big mystery, and everyone's like, Joe, it's the obvious solution. But I'm like, no, there has to be more to that. Like, no, it's two phones. It's two always phones. Two phones.
Actually, I remember having two phones. It's a pain. No.
Yeah.
I don't have the number to the new phone. I just know he has. Because what's funny is he pulled out his smartphone after the last podcast. I made fun of him about it. And then he pulled out his regular phone and said, oh, you texted me.
Yeah, there you go.
It's really not that hard to, it's like, probably get away with like $5. Or even there's some phones out there, it's free. You just have to have the phone.
That's what I was thinking. He's probably just doing like, that's all he uses his data for, is to check in the movie pass.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have talk on that phone? Do you know?
No clue.
I've only ever seen him using his dumb phone. That's why he's trying to build up the mystery.
And I don't know if you can get a cell phone with data and not with the other stuff. Well, no, you could, I guess if you had a tablet plan.
The mystery.
There's some carriers like the carrier I'm using for my cell service is called Ting, and they don't charge you for any voice if you don't use it. Like if you have zero voice, they don't charge you for it, but they will charge for data and vice versa. Like they only charge like basically whatever tier you use. So you might have like a cell phone plan where you just you use absolutely no data, send no texts, do no voice calls, and your bill is basically $6 a month. So yeah, like it, wow. he could feasibly have one of those plans. I mean, those are pretty good for like tablets and that kind of thing. Speaking of plans, though,
that would make
sense. I just noticed that this is kind of in the wheelhouse of MoviePass. Bill, have there been any changes to the way subscriptions for MoviePass work?
All right. Did we not talk about
that? I think we did.
I guess not. Okay. Then that means it's still in the show notes somewhere. So, MoviePass. Oh, actually, yeah, it is. Still in the show notes. Look at that. Well, okay. I haven't seen this in their... I have people who've looked at it. It's not officially... Or apparently it's not in their official signing up, or it's buried somewhere. But if you cancel your MoviePass plan, they will not let you sign up for $9.
Wow. It's good they're going to kind of like adjust prices if you're the hardcore MoviePass.
I haven't heard anything about that. That one's more of a rumor. The other one is... That is what they're moving towards, but they've not, locked it into their, this is in the small print that we've updated that you haven't read yet. Yeah. And if it is, then that's really in that extra small print that I haven't found.
So you cancel and they're like, you're not welcome back to the family for 9 months.
Well, that would mean that you can sign up for the holiday season. And if you cancel your plan after the blockbusters or holiday season over, you can't sign up until after summer blockbusters over. So you can't just like cut it for 3 or 6 months.
I see. That is kind of smart because it forces you to keep it because that's how they can recoup some money because people don't want to watch January movies and all the...
I'm up for February movies.
Well, I watch movies all the time. But
yeah.
You definitely have your peak seasons and your low seasons.
But I think if they start changing pricing... That'll start coming out a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, nobody cancel their plans yet.
Well, I'll keep in mind because I'll watch movies all the time.
Yeah. And, yeah, just go watch a movie a month at least.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. There's always at least, like, one movie that I feel like should appeal to somebody.
And especially if you technically already paid for it. You're like, why not?
Exactly.
Makes it worth it.
Ted and I still need to get ours.
No, you
I have codes
to.
For you. How about that? Because there are codes, you share your code, you get free months. I actually am sitting, that's the other thing, I'm sitting on like 4 free months.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
If you get in the app and you share it out.
I should have been doing that. I was signing up my mom and stuff for it.
Yes, I did. The codes didn't initially work, so I've also signed up about 20 people that didn't get a code.
Oh,
so
okay.
Otherwise I'd have years of free
months. Yeah, I know.
And then I wouldn't care about canceling my plan.
No, it's totally worth it for the $10 a month.
Well, especially if your theater costs more than... In some places it doesn't. Here, Pocatello does. In Niagara Falls, it does.
I know, I'm trying to remember how many movies I've seen since I got it.
I have justified... Mine has paid for itself.
No, mine's paid for itself and then some, easily.
Have you guys seen any out-of-town, like, theater... shows?
No. I almost did during Salt Lake Comic Con. I almost activated it then because I knew it was good there.
Yeah, I've seen 5 movies. It was Blade Runner twice, Happy Death Day, American Made, and Thor.
Twice.
Well, the first time somebody just gave me a ticket.
Okay. Yeah, you also watched it in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So, with movies also, Disney... doing some hokey stuff, which also I found out that apparently I thought movie theaters had to pay like 90 to 100% of the cost for the first few months.
Mm-hmm.
No, they apparently pay like 40 to 55% average and for the first little bit. And then that number starts going down and the movie theaters start making more. Apparently... Disney has locked theaters in, going, you have to show this The Last Jedi on your biggest screen for 4 whole weeks. And they've also made a bunch of theaters sign a bunch of slightly tweaked contracts. So if any of them are released to the public, or at least to the press, Disney knows exactly who released it.
Oh, they're like Nazis.
Oh, yeah, they're going great on this. They bumped it up from the normal 40 to 60%. And if you breach the contract, they bump it up an additional 5%. So you have to pay 65%.
So that just means if they sell a ticket, 65% of the revenue has to go to Disney?
Correct.
Okay.
So, yeah. Which will hurt smaller theaters who can't justifiably, yes, it is Star Wars, I'll admit, but if they, you know, and I'm not talking like the local AMC, they're small compared to some, but I'm talking about like the, you know.
Can the theater set pricing on tickets for episode 8?
Okay. Yes. So you're still stuck with they're still doing their pricing. Mm-hmm. So I guess they could kind of like undermark things.
I was going to say they could $2. Like toward the end there, just to keep butts in seats and get concessions up, they could just like get this pricing down to basically free.
Oh, actually, I was off by 5%. Disney is starting at 65%, and it'll bump it up to 70 if you breach contract.
Yeah, definitely. They're getting a little cocky considering that all they really have is just that trilogy, because I don't care about Star Wars after episode 9. I'm not going to watch Han Solo.
You're not going to watch Star Wars episode 10?
No, there's not going to be an episode 10.
You don't think there's going to be an episode? How about episode 0?
Well, they probably will, but all I care about is just this trilogy. We'll get the trilogy, and then after that...
Oh, what I was going to say, it'll be next trilogy. 10, 11, 12.
So it'll be like, oh yeah, on our Boba Fett... hanging out with Yoda spinoff. We want to, and they're like, no one's watching these movies anymore, Disney.
Negative 1, 2, 3. No. Actually, they're gonna start with negative 4, 5, 6.
They'll be like, well, I guess the new, what's it? The Sarlacc pick spinoff movie, you're just not gonna get your theater. Like, I guess I want Disney.
I think Disney can probably be as cocky as they want. Like that, I mean, they don't even have to put out good Star Wars movies. People will go see them. Like it's basically never going to stop.
Well,
they're selling better than the Marvel movies. And Thor is...
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still fresh, though. They're only 3 movies in. So I don't think, like, 10 years down the road, if they're really going to release a Star Wars movie every year. Because, like I said, I'm already going to totally skip Han Solo.
What's the top grossing Star Wars movie of all time?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's The Force Awakens, but that's the first one.
Episode 1.
Episode 1.
Episode 1.
No, The Force Awakens made more money than it did.
Even so, episode 1 has kind of a reputation, like, the argument that like 10 years in, they're not going to be able to keep making Star Wars movies, because they've been doing it for like how long since episode 1 came out? It's going to be a perennial industry. Like, it's never going to go away, because there's always going to be generations of nostalgic nerds like us. They're like, oh man, I have to show my boy the new Star Wars movie. And they'll want to relive that experience forever and ever, because they have nothing else to hang on to. So, like, it's not going to go away. Like, Disney knows, like, this is the golden goose that will keep crapping out golden eggs forever. It's basically not going to go away until nobody knows what Star Wars is. It's going to be like Bozo the Clown. At the point we reach that critical mass that absolutely nobody in a generation knows who Bozo the Clown is, that's the point it stops making money.
Okay, so I was wrong. So, The Force Awakens episode 7 is number 1. And then Rogue One. But before the new ones came out, episode 1 was the highest grossing movie.
No, but look how much they fell off, though, because episode 1 had 431, and then episode 2 had 300. And then Rogue One made like half the amount. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying nobody will watch then. I'm just saying like 10 years in, after they're done with like the main canon people, you're not
they're still
going to
make absurd amounts of money, though. Like, way more than anything else Disney makes.
So, here's the other thing. If you want to see an extra 6 minutes, Disney's going to lock away and burn.
Yeah.
It'll cost you $30 or an extra $20 to go watch it in theaters. And you get to watch it before everybody else. Curious.
Just get extra 6 minutes.
Extra 6 minutes. Yeah. Maybe it's 16. Yeah. Either way.
It's not going to be anything
totally
very good.
In.
Bill, no.
We're the ones complaining the loudest, but we're also the ones that are going to go see it and pay the extra money.
Well, I'm not going to pay the extra money. I'm not care about.
I haven't
minutes.
Complained.
I'm not seeing the extra 6 minutes. That's a waste of money, Bill.
Worth it.
You're gonna pay like $40 to go watch a movie.
I think it's 30 or 35.
Not to show minor disdain for Disney. I mean, they can do what they want, but I'm probably just gonna watch it when it comes out, like DVD or something. Like, it's like the last two Star Wars movies just didn't do it for me. I'll probably just read the synopsis of Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'll admit, I do like the numbered ones way better.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Han Solo is gonna be retarded. Like, Ron Howard's a hack, and that movie's unnecessary.
I thought he was already fired.
No, Ron Howard took over.
Oh, yeah.
They fired the people who were the only reason it might have been okay. And then they bring in Ron Howard, who's been making Tom Hanks Da Vinci Code movies for the past.
He's very good at making movies that do well in the box office. Not good movies, but they sell well.
Do they, though, Alex? Did
Inferno actually, you know, I have no idea. I'm just thinking of the Da Vinci Code specifically.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's all I'm saying is I feel like, yeah, the episodes are going to demolish anything in there, too. But you wait and see next year, like when Infinity Wars comes out. I bet that movie will be on the level with, like, the Star Wars episodes. Because everyone's going to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's going to make a ton of money. Like, when Disney hawks it as, this is the Marvel movie that all other Marvel movies were pouring into.
Well, because already, too, the Avenger movies always make way more, too, because people feel like, should I pay all this extra money to see them in individual movies or buy one ticket where I get to see...
Yeah. That's totally true. It's like the Costco version of Marvel movies. And you get in there, like you start shuffling through like your big Costco box of superhero movies. It's like you get like the cheddar sun chips. It's like nothing you'd want on its own, but because it came in this huge box, you bought it. You're like, combos? I didn't know they even made combos. Howard the Duck? What's this doing in here?
I know, they're like, did your teenager's delinquent tickets with the court make it so he had to choose between Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy? Well, guess what? You get to see both of them in one movie.
I guess this is a pretty good segue. Should we talk about Thor?
Well, I guess since we're not going to spoil it.
Okay, not spoiled.
Yeah, let's talk about no spoils this week. We're just going to rate it.
Can we talk about plot structure without mentioning details?
Yeah, you could do that.
If it was in the trailer, how about that?
Yeah. Hey, no, so this is a good segue. I read a few articles, which I kind of agreed with, is that the only thing I'll say about the movie that's not the movie's fault, because this isn't a spoiler, but it's the trailer's fault, is that I agree that blowing that whole load on Hulk, that was a huge mistake, because the way the movie was set up is that if you didn't know he was going to be in that movie would have been that much better, because they build up this whole thing where they're like, it's the champion, you got to fight him, we haven't seen Hulk in forever too.
And
you would have, like, if that whole, like, yeah, that's in the trailer.
Yeah, that's tremendously disappointing. They tip their hand in the trailer.
That's why I'm already going on Blackout for Star Wars. I'm not watching any more trailers.
I know. Well, because it seems like Star Wars is kind of deal, but this one especially, because they were worried, like, oh, we wanted to get more people to show up, but you still would have had, might have, like, took slightly a hit on opening weekend.
I think only opening night.
Yeah, opening up, but then that spreads like wildfire, so you still would have had the people spoiling that, but I would appreciate it, like, because I went Thursday night, if I didn't know Hulk was in this movie at all from the trailers. That would have been amazing, because the way they built it up in the movie, it was totally like, oh, who are you going to fight? Because no one would ever guess, like, on this weird planet that Hulk's going to finally show up again.
Especially the way the movie introduced it, because they even kept it in the movie a secret until Hulk showed up.
And that's what I agree with. So it's not a critique against the movie, because obviously the movie was trying to do that, but I'm sure executives were like, no, you've got to spoil it. Because people got to know Hulk really in sad. This movie.
They could have shown. They could have shown like other, like not to just spoiler because he's on the movie poster, but Loki. Like, I mean, that would draw. Like, he's a fan favorite. Everyone likes him. If he's just like a second character besides Chris Hemsworth, they could have thrown him in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have seen Thor 2, you knew he was going to be in the movie. because he took over.
Oh yeah, with Loki, he took over for Odin and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what happened to Odin, but you know Loki's in charge.
So it was like, so I didn't really think about it much of the time too. But then when I watched the movie, and then I saw like an AV Club posted that, and I was like, yeah, I'm team that. I wish they would have not spoiled that in the trailer, because that's kind of a huge spoiler too. Like, there's other stuff that's big spoilers, but that in and of itself, I think it is the unrecognized massive, massive spoiler that the trailer spoiled for everyone.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome. Like, the whole buildup when he's coming out of there, and then the whole time you're like, oh, and then it was like, this is when the Hulk's going to show up, instead of like, who's this going to be?
Yeah, like, I know this scene. Yeah. I've seen it 1,000 times on
exactly.
TV. Exactly. Yeah. Now I see it in theaters.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I guess that's that way with trailers sometimes, like when they happen to like show like the best and funniest parts.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of spoil it that way. And it just like kind of makes it less of a good show overall, like what you're saying. I have to agree on that.
Yeah, I second Anna's opinion. It really takes a lot of the impact out just from the Hulk appearance in the trailer, which seems like a tremendous nitpick, but in the context of the movie and the build up for it, it's a tremendously huge disappointment within the movie. Like, that's like they play off that, like it's supposed to be a really funny moment, and like you could tell, like the way they shot it, the way everybody that was also in the scene reacted, you could tell that it was supposed to be like a pivotal moment for the movie, and the trailer just like showed its hand. So I think it's a disappointment.
Yeah. Cause that was hard. Cause I love that. Cause I love the whole build up with her. Just like Thor's like, oh, we got, and he's all confident. Like, I'm going to beat up somebody. And they're like, we got somebody who'll give you a run for your money. And if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you at that point, you have a list of people. You're like, could it be, you know, so-and-so or this or that? Or like, what are they going to introduce somebody new? Are they going to introduce somebody from, like, you know, Adam from the end of the Guardians?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, there could have been this list. Like, I don't know who. Oh, okay, I get it.
I guess I can say something nice about the movie. It's, one of the things I really enjoyed about it is it kept... Well, we've complained this podcast before about the Marvel movie trope of the villain of the movie is just the mirror image of the hero. In this case, it wasn't exactly that way. And that's the way you could describe the plot structure of this movie is it either has like an A plot that like is barely visible, and they spend maybe about like 20, maybe 30 minutes building up and tearing down, and the B plot is the majority of the movie. Or you could say the A plot is where they shoved like the world-ending crisis that Thor has to solve, and the B plot is the majority of the movie. And the B plot is tremendously good, and it occupies most of the movie. The parts where Thor is on like the weird alien planet that's not Asgard is really good. I explain it to my brother as Thor pretending to be Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China is fighting Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum. It's like a really great matchup, because it's not like the typical Marvel matchup, and there isn't like, it's not like Thor fights Jeff Goldblum or anything like that, but it's like the conflict in it is like something unique for Marvel movies. It's not anything that like Thor can actually punch his way out of. I mean, there's tons of action in it, but it's not just, oh, let's just hit this thing harder or shoot it with a bigger laser beam. It's let's actually have a plot that goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And Korg, who's voiced by the director of the movie.
Oh yeah, best. Taika Waititi was the director of this, and he did like a awesome. Jamie Clooney on this. He did Hunt for the Wilder People, and also What We Do in the Shadows, the really great Spinal Tap like documentary on vampires. And he's hilarious. He does do voice acting for this revolutionary rock. It's a rock that wants to have a revolution.
Yeah. No, he was like every word. Like, I loved every second that character is in the movie. He was the funniest part of the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Because just with the voice, too, having like the New Zealand accent and this giant like rock guy.
Yeah.
It just gave him like this cool, like laid back fun. And it was very witty. And just the whole movie was very good. Like I said, even the Hulk thing, that's not the movie's fault. That is a marketing fault. Yeah. It's just like you couldn't crap on The Last Jedi if they released a trailer where Luke's like, that's why I have to murder both of you. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
For you, Last Jedi, you see the, screw you trailer.
The trailer, Luke, I am your father. Yeah. Why did you show that?
I know. No, that's why. So it's like you said, because the movie did a great job building up the Hulk coming into it. So
I have to go. I did like this one better than Thor 2.
Yeah.
But Thor 2, I think, is the worst of the Marvel. And I really hated the Avenger movies.
Yeah, I didn't like Avengers 2. I like this way better than Guardians 2 because I like the humor better. And I think it might be just because of the director. Because like I said, Hunt for the Wilder People was in my top 10 movies last year. Yeah. And so I like this humor more because it was like consistently funny, like Guardians of the Galaxy. But I think the timing and the nature of the jokes, it was less, it didn't feel like a sitcom. That's why I didn't like Guardians 2, because I felt like everyone's like, hey.
Yeah, everything had to be a zinger in Guardians 2.
Natural.
True. Okay. Because I was thinking Guardians is a better job, but.
Yeah, I like Guardians 2. Like,
well, go ahead.
I thought the jokes were really good in Guardians 2. I thought it was pretty quick and, like, smart with, like, how they kind of quip those jokes. Mm-hmm. But I can see what Joe is saying as far as like the difference between the two when it comes down to it. But yeah, I found them both really funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they were both funny. I felt Hulk was a lot of Drax. I really felt they were like, oh, Drax is the serious man who's funny. Let's turn that into Hulk. And that's the other thing I felt like.
The Hulk was smarter, though, because they played off the fact that he's still, like, an idiot. Like, he couldn't talk, and so I like how they were, like, introducing a talking Hulk.
But, yeah, I guess maybe that is just it. It's early talking Hulk, because I'm used to talking Hulk being smart. Like, you know, Banner smart Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the smartest, strongest Avenger. I mean, he is something to be worried about because he knows how to break it in a million different ways. Only one of them's with his fist.
No, this is just early talking Hulk.
Yeah.
So that, because with the Hulk too, they did take Hulk and Banner. They did a really good job with everybody. Yeah, and Jeff Goldblum. I don't know. I approve of that movie heavily. It was like, yeah, and I agree with you too, Alex. The villain was better than most, but still my least favorite part of the movie, though, because they haven't quite, like, Vulture was better in Homecoming as far as, like, MCU-ish, well, it's kind of the Sony movie, too, but they haven't, like, pushed over that edge of, like, having the bad enemies.
He's Batman.
Yeah, I know. The MCU, that's still their Achilles heel as their villains, for the most part. So I'm hoping Thanos, like, brings it up, because the trailer for what's it called, Black Panther. Yeah, it's another Black Panther. So I was like, oh, so we're back to this. He has like a yellow dog chant collar or whatever that they wear.
Well, he was really like, happy. He gets to
Black
be in a
Panther.
Good Marvel movie now, because he was the bad guy in that one is Johnny Flame from the last Fantastic Four.
Oh, that was Johnny Flame? That's gonna fight Black Panther.
Yeah,
but. But do you know what I mean, though? And that trailer, it's still just another Black Panther fighting another Black Panther.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I guess it's up to you, Josh Brolin.
The mirror image, yeah.
Yeah. But Hela wasn't bad. I mean, she's better than most of them, but it was still kind of like the one-dimensional person. Because when I was watching the movie, especially when they flashed between Asgard and the other one, I was like, let's go back to Jeff Goldblum.
You could tell that they definitely just weighed all the stuff that's actually happening, what just took place in the weird alien world, and they just dumped all the special effects into the other one. So if you do like the Marvel mythos and just like lots of explosions and superhero fighting, arts were clearly boxed off in their own sidecar plot, and then like you actually have like the goofy like sci-fi comedy as like the main focal point for the rest of the movie. I like that. It was like a good sandwich with like okay bread, and then just like a really good, then like really good. I'm gonna go with peanut butter and jelly. Chris Hemsworth, here's the peanut butter. Jeff Goldblum, he's the jelly.
Yeah.
Hulk, he's a banana. Tom Hiddleston, he is a, I'm going to say he's a little honey, or maybe even butter. That's a good PB&J combo, like actual just like butter. Oh yeah.
A little bit of Nutella on there.
So I kind of want to roll something back. Something Alex brought up that we kind of like skimmed around. I think I was kind of stuck on the Black Mirror thing. I want to go back to Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys seen the new season?
No, I did all of it as well. I just watched the last episode, Alex? I think, last week.
Wait, did you also end up rolling into the talking Stranger Things? Basically like the Talking Dead, but
beyond Stranger Things.
Do not even turn it on. Actually, luckily they warn you, but don't watch it unless you've watched the entire thing, because the first thing they do was spoil the last episode. Like, straight off the bat. It's like, well, good thing I finished. Just Netflix kind of rolled in. But what do you guys think? For those who have... Okay, you were so-so on the first half, you said.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can already tell it's going to be the weaker of the two seasons, because the first season, I actually thought the first half of the first season was better than the second half, but I still like the whole thing. But this one is kind of okay, because I was telling you before the podcast, it annoyed me that they kind of have the Walking Dead thing where they like broke apart the group and everyone has like these subplots that none of which are as interesting as when everybody was just together in the first season. There's not like a single standout one. And it's kind of like, at least I only made it through the end of 5, and I still am like, I don't really know what's happening yet. It's okay. It's watchable, but it's not great.
All right.
I liked it. I thought Stranger Things 2 was actually really interesting as far as like how they incorporated all the characters through the show and how they just kind of like continued on with the story. Because like they finally kind of explained a little bit further what was happening with a lot of the characters after the first Stranger Things. Like they were trying to answer questions about Barb a little bit further as they were trying to go through the second season. And they were also like explaining a little bit further later on. You'll find out a little more about Eleven and like where she comes from and like where other people that are like Eleven are coming from. So,
well, okay, that's the other thing. They still don't quite explain about her powers, like whether they gave them to her or whether she had them. Or it's really still like how she became. Is she a mutant or is she a Spider-Man?
I guess you don't really get the full story behind it, but you actually do kind of see more of where she's coming from. Because you kind of see like a little more about her parents and her background and everything. So I found that really interesting.
I kind of liked it. I think if you watch like about the point Joe's at, there aren't going to be any surprises for you. The one thing that I was kind of worried about with this new season is the first season really did show you everything, including the monster. And they aren't able to solve that classic problem of what do you show people after you show the monster? You show them more monsters. And that's basically what they've done. Like all they can do is just more or less the same thing, but pluralized. So I mean, that's a little bit of a disappointment for me, but like nobody's ever solved that problem in like a sci-fi or horror type genre. I mean, look at Lost. They tried to like work their way out of it, but they still kept following the same tropes. Like there's a mysterious island. No, there's multiple mysterious islands. There's a smoke monster. No, there isn't. There's multiple smoke monsters. There's a polar bear. No, there's multiple polar bears. So, yeah, it's alien and aliens. Like it's always, that's always what's happened in like follow-ups to like sci-fi horror. After you see the monster that, I mean, there isn't really a novelty they can do.
Well, and I think Star Trek probably did the best of that. Only because, okay, the Klingons were the monsters. Now the Klingons are on our side. The Romulans are the monsters. okay, we're politically dealing with the Romulans. Now the Borg's the monster. And they're like alien. We're like, what do they want to do? They just want to kill us. Actually, yeah. Doctor Who, I think, kind of does a good job. Yes, you can tack on these numbers, but if you are changing the monster and tweaking how the monster is, and like this one, they kind of tweaked it, or they evolved into the such a larger one over an overarching one, and then added numbers. The only thing is, I feel like they just showed the overarching, you know, the major villain. You know, they just showed Thanos, and they're like, "Here's Thanos. There's all of his lackeys. And that's the end of the season." And it's like, wait, what? Really? So you just, and especially, you know, how powerful they generally are, and all, it's like,
I know. That's why I'm wondering. Well, because I heard that the second half it does kind of pick up. Because that's what somebody said. Is I think now, like, this season was written in mind, knowing that the show's so popular that they're writing other ones. Because I felt like season one was just like, yeah, we're gonna do, like, I thought it was a mini series. So at first, when I was like, why are you making season two? Like, you don't need to. That it was a show that, like, accidentally got popular because Jordan was the person that told me. He's like, yeah, there's like this weird 80s theme show, and then we watch it, we're like, that's pretty cool, and then like 2 weeks later they're like, guess what, and then everyone in the world's like, Stranger Things, the greatest thing ever. And I was like I think even the Duffer brothers were like, what
do we have?
They're like, guess what, we need you to make more and more, and they're like, and so you can tell that they kind of like, so this season it did feel like it was slow because they're not just like doing a mini series.
And actually, even if you watch they had the final episode, the final part of the final episode in mind. That was the very first thought, and they're like, okay, now how do we get here?
It's even like 11, I thought she should have just been dead. Like, they kind of hinted at the end where they're like, maybe she's there, but it still kind of felt like, again, if it was a miniseries, you're like, maybe she died, maybe she didn't, but then they're just like, guess what? Everyone loves 11, so you can't kill her. So she's still alive.
And she was the one, because, Eleven went off and started doing a bunch of junkets. So of course they're not going to kill her off.
One of
Steve's
boyfriends, her boyfriend,
Jonathan.
Steve. He went off to do it.
Or no, that was Mike.
Mike. Mike's the boyfriend.
Yeah,
he went off to go do it. So he's not going to, you know, they're not going to kill him off because he's a great child actor. They're not going to get rid of him. So they have successfully, you know, they've successfully made some child actors. They're just, it sounds like it almost seems like it's going to be a yearly thing. A year later. Let them age a year later. Look at that. We got the Harry Potter thing down.
They're approved through four seasons.
Oh, jeez. I can't imagine how they could do this four seasons.
I know. Well, I don't want
except
them
for
to
they've
keep
introduced that there is more than one. You know, 11 is of the 11th. And what happens when you start, you know, say you start running into the X-Men style? One of these people is not going to be good, and is Papa one of them?
Well, yeah, they.
I would almost rather they dropped all the actors and then just like more or less did it like a different location every time with like and maybe like around the same universe, but like have different events, different actors, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, all the actors are amazing in it, but like. I just don't see how the characters are going to develop besides just gradually getting closer together, or I guess that's it. Like, I don't see them, like, developing much.
No, I just hope they have it pre-plotted out, because even if it's four seasons, that's what I'm hoping is that in between, that's what this season was, is that they said, okay, like, everyone loves this show. Like, it still surprises me how much people love that show, but I hope they said, like, okay, we're going to put it out to this.
I enjoy it out. But I have a nostalgia thing going on.
Well, that was the thing that was hard too, because with the first season, that's what kind of lost it for me a little bit too, because it was cool in the 80s, and then this one, it's like, it's sort of like the Alex thing with the monsters. They already had like the hype of the 80s, and so it's more like, hey guys, let's dress up as the Ghostbusters because we're in the 80s, and
hey,
every time the guy
I had those outfits.
Make sure every single time the guy drops off Max, he's listening to an 80s hit because we're in the 80s. Well, make sure everyone has mullets because we're in the 80s.
Yeah, it was just saturated with pop culture this time. It felt like an episode of the regular show instead of Stranger Things, because Stranger Things, like the first season, it felt like their set design stuff was, I don't want to say timeless because, I mean, clearly it's a period piece for, like, the paranoia of, like, the 80s. But, like, all the actual set pieces and, like, attitudes of characters and stuff, like, those are kind of, like, just timeless things that you'd find in shows like Freaks and Geeks or like, I'm trying to think of another one along the same vein, but they didn't, like, try to, like, make it seem as though it were from the 80s as much as they did this time when there's, like, weird product placement of, like, old Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, want some KFC in our 80s bucket? That's what people forget about, like, actual 80s movies. It's what, people? They were made in the 80s. Oh. So they were, like, in the 80s, so it's just in the 80s, and that's what I wish they did, is you can set it in the 80s, but, like, you watch other movies, like I watch Zodiac again that was in the 70s,
yeah.
And they just say, yeah, it's in the 70s because this is when it took place, but they're not, like, constantly. So that's what annoys me, where they're like, yeah, we should go play Dig Dug at the arcade and then go watch the Goonies a million times. What year is it? Oh yeah,
it wasn't Ryan like Durant's, it wasn't like a cargo cult fan explanation of what that decade was like. It wasn't like this ritualistic behavior just based off pop culture icons from that time.
But they okay, I'll admit, like Mindhunter, they're doing a great job with the 70s.
Yeah, it's just in the 70s.
That 70s show, even though they kind of did that a little bit, but it was more like little things in the episodes. It wasn't so 70s in your face.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of hard. It's that the first season did do better that because it did like hit you with the nostalgia, and then this one, they're like, they felt like they had to ramp that up even more to be like, part of why people like this because it was in the 80s, so make sure
for what's worth, I think that does scratch an itch for people, so yeah. I don't think that's completely misguided, even if it's seems a little bit ham-fisted.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going a little long. I want to finish off with one last thing.
Hey,
Robo,
the best game to get a plug in this podcast. So yeah, if, update from last week, Robo V Dino made it to Steam. So just search Robo V Dino, RoboVDino, in Steam, and it'll pull my game right up. You can follow us and check it out.
Or follow the link in the show notes.
And if you review it, you might notice that there are a few features mentioned in it that haven't been previously mentioned on podcasts. Local co-op is going to be part of Robo V Dino launch day. And there's going to be some level of randomization to the levels. I'm not sure. I need to do some more playtesting to figure out what works well for procedural generation. But there's going to be at least some quantity of randomization every time you play. So it'll be good to replay with friends over and over again.
No, that's pretty cool. Alex, you don't want to encourage the nerds to like power play through your game because they memorize every movement of every dino. Speed runs.
It's an 80 a game set in the 80s. It's not an 80s. Yeah, 80. All
right. Buy the new World iPhone 2020. It's only going to hurt for a second.
Yeah, watch Thor.
I second that. Thor is a really good movie.
This is a podcast set in the 80s. It's not the 80s.
I know.